ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति।
व्हाट पेज आर वी ऑन?
मैंने चैट में लिखा है, बता देंगे।
अच्छा
We're now studying this portion in Vedanta Treatise book, which is called as Personality Chart. Now, this Personality Chart is a portion that is given in Bhagavad Gita in the last chapter of the Gita, where Arjuna is asking about renunciation. What is renunciation? Then Sri Krishna explains the true renunciation: Tyaga, Sattvic Tyaga, Rajasic Tyaga, Tamasic Tyaga. Then he analyzes knowledge, action, actor, intellect, consistency, happiness, along with renunciation. Along with renunciation, he analyzes them from the sattvic, rajasic and tamasic angle. So once you understand this, you get a clear picture of yourself, where you stand, where you are. Are you in the sattvic or are you in the rajasic? Are you in the tamasic category? How you can improve yourself from tamasic to rajasic to sattvic? So therefore, this is a very practical portion. In fact, this is not just for us to read and understand. It is for us to plot our own graph as to where we stand. Are we in the tamasic, are we in the rajasic, are we in the sattvic? The whole idea is to move from tamas to rajas to sattva and go beyond. So this exercise we do to understand ourselves, not others. So we can say that this personality chart is more of a mirror for us to see ourselves, to get a clear picture, because we all think that we are somewhere very highly evolved souls maybe. So this will bring us down to ground level. This is where you are, you know. If you are objectively doing, because I remember, I belong to the second batch of the ashram. Swamiji started the ashram in 1998. So I belong to the second batch. I joined in 1992, he started in 88. Now, when he was discussing this personality chart with us and asking us to do this chart, he told that the first batch students, when they did the chart, everybody was plotting themselves at sattva around 96%, rajas 3%, tamas only 1%. Slightly better than Sage Vasishtha, their levels were. So Swamiji said, listen, I am not asking you to do this chart to impress me. I know from your face, I know from your personality as to where you belong. This is for you to know. So this is not to impress anybody, this is not for any other reason to analyze anybody else other than you. It is to clearly understand where we are, how much distance to cover, what we need to do for that, and then getting on to that business. That's about it. So it's a very, very interesting portion. So please understand this correctly. And then once we complete this, I will show you the matrix, how you can make your own analysis. So, it's a very, very important portion in the Gita. So, let's begin this personality chart. Please read the personality chart.
Personality chart. The state of self-realization lies beyond the three mental temperaments known as gunas. Every human is constituted of the three gunas classified as sattva, rajas and tamas. Tamas is a state of an inactive mind, steeped in inertia, indolence, indifference, the lowest of the three qualities. Rajas is that of vacillating emotion and passive activity. And sattva, the highest quality of mind, poised, serene and equanimous. above worldly passion and excitement.
Continue.
These temperaments, gunas, combined in different proportions, account for the variety of individuals in the world. The role of a human in his lifetime is to gradually rise from tamas to rajas to sattva and reach trance sattva, wherein lies the supreme self, the ultimate spiritual enlightenment. To develop the personality and attain the transcendental experience, you need to study and analyze these gunas thoroughly, ascertain the nature of the gunas inherent in you and how they manifest in the different facets of your personality. You will then realize what is well and what needs attention or correction.
Continue.
For this purpose, the Bhagavad Gita has classified action and renunciation under the three gunas. Furthermore, action itself has been dissected into its constituents as knowledge, actor, intellect, steadfastness, and their three gradations defined. Towards the end, happiness and renunciation have also been classified under three categories. Thus, the grades of sattva, rajas and tamas have been projected on all these facets of a human being. An analysis which enables you to define the exact nature of your personality. It holds a mirror to your inner quality and character. Your nature clearly defined, you can administer corrective measures where there are faults and rise gradually to the trans-sattvic state.
So, this portion analyzes the inner personality of every being, which is made up of three temperaments called sattva, rajas and tamas. Sattva being the highest, rajas being the mediocre and tamas being the lowest. Tamas is a state of mind in which a person is in lethargy, indolence, heedlessness, in a state of unawareness, non-awareness you can say, indulgent. And rajas is a state of mind where a person is restless, passionate, desirous, greedy. That is rajas, result oriented. These are typical rajasic traits. And sattva is a state of mind in which person is balanced, composed, serene, calm. Therefore, all these three, we are all made up of. Nobody is exempt from. Only the permutation combination varies. In some sattva is more, in some rajas is more, in some tamas is more. But all of us have all these three gunas. So, the role in life is to manage these gunas. Actually speaking, life management means managing these gunas as much as possible while we are alive. To have a qualitative life, we must balance our gunas in such a way that we increase sattva. Tamas and rajas, we should eliminate. But tamas to pakka we have to eliminate. Rajas also we need to eliminate, but we have to manage it and eliminate it. And slowly come to sattva. So, we have to rise from tamas to rajas to sattva. If we want to have a qualitative life, if we want to have deeper satisfaction, realize the ultimate goal of life, we need to go beyond sattva also. So, but beyond sattva is okay, fine. That is self-realization, liberation, whatever. Now, how many of us are interested in self-realization? Firstly, at the moment if you say, my goal is self-realization, you yourself will laugh. Because ultimate goal can be self-realization. At the moment our goal should be self-development. I should be a better person than what I am today. And when I become a better person tomorrow, I should continue striving to become much more, much, much better, much better. You understand? So, till we come to a stage where we are able to comfortably conceive of Brahman, Atman, and when you come to that level, you will not be interested in this mundane stuff. When you have to get in, you will get in. But otherwise, generally, you won't be that much interested. you know, what is happening in the world today, who is winning, who is losing, kya chal rahe, you won't be interested. You will be interested only in divinity, etc., etc. So we need to keep on rising ourselves from tamas to rajas to sattva and go to transattva. At least come to sattva. If you really want to enjoy anything for that matter, you have to be available there. If you are in a state of rajas and you are contacting an object, a chocolate, let's say, your mind is so running after seeing that chocolate which you love, whatever chocolate it may be that you really love, and you are keep the object is in front of you, you are hungry also, and you want to grab and eat as much as possible. That's how the mind is running. And when the mind is running like that, you simply put the chocolate in before you realize you finish that and take one more. So you have not really registered the contact. You are going on swallowing maybe 2-3 chocolates. Quantity you have eaten more maybe than the others. But did you really register the contact? Only when the mind is not running helter-skelter, when it's calm, do you really enjoy. And you cannot enjoy also if the awareness has gone somewhere. Tamasic fellow is somewhere in the clouds. And tamasic fellow has not done anything to deserve that. So he is so indulgent that he might have lost the capacity to enjoy. You see, when your senses, he will first of all not put it, supposing there is a chocolate on the table, he won't even get up and go and take it and put it in his mouth. Somebody has to come and put it. And he doesn't want to work, he doesn't want to, you know, do anything. So such a person also will not enjoy. So to be able to have a qualitative life, we need to bring our mind to a sattvic state. Rajasic mind easily gets affected by what others say. And tamasic mind understands things ulta. So, really speaking, who enjoys life? One who comes to sattva. And once you come to sattva, then you realize that the acquisition and enjoyment cannot be the end all and be all of life. It is okay. It is needed for a certain purpose maybe. But that cannot be the end all and be all of life. And after a certain level, thoda kam ho gaya, thoda jyada ho gaya, kya farak padta? It doesn't matter. So, then you ask the pertinent question. What is the supreme and all that? Then you get back to the self. So he says, to move from where you are to that ultimate goal, you should know where you are. What is your life? So he says, to develop the personality and attain the transcendental experience, you need to study and analyze these gunas thoroughly to know what is your level today. Ascertain the nature of the gunas inherent in you and how they manifest in different facets of your personality. You will then realize what is well and what needs attention, correction. Isn't it? Which area you are okay? Which area you need to pay more attention? What actions you need to do to become better in those areas? So that's why I said, the Vedantin is a scavenger. Somebody asks you, what are you? You say, I am scavenger. Achha, what do you mean by that? I keep cleansing myself until I become absolutely pure, self-realized. Isn't it? That's all you keep doing. Keep on purifying myself. You have no other better things to do. Because this is the first thing. Because I have to become clean. Itna ganda kachada mera andar hai. There is no time that I can sit and waste in talking about other things. But I have to get my mind pure. So therefore, he says, do that. And for this purpose, he says, Bhagavad Gita has classified action, renunciation under the three gunas. Now it's very interesting. Why action and renunciation alone first? You see, if all of us are sleeping in a in the train. Let's say we are all going to some place and all of us are sleeping in the train. And if somebody comes in, ticket collector comes in, will he know that who is an artist, who is a dancer, who is a painter, who is a singer, who is a cricketer? Will they know? A cricketer is not going to sleep in sports attire. He is going to be sleeping in night clothes. Painter is also going to be sleeping in night clothes. And when they come, nobody knows who is a painter, who is a dancer. Isn't it? But when the painter wakes up, he or she will be talking about painting, will be discussing about painting, actually painting, reading articles about it. That's how they will manifest. A mathematician will wake up and then once he starts acting, you know, oh, this is the mathematician. So from what we do, from what we don't do, we can be understood. Isn't it? Achara. See, Tram Sattva is difficult to understand through Achara. But Sattva can be understood to a great extent. Right? Supposing the teacher is saying some point and you are saying, no, it cannot be like that, it can't be like that. And after some time, teacher himself loses the cool and gets agitated. Then you know, okay, this fellow also has got good amount of rajas and tamas. Okay. But if he is transatlantic, you cannot understand him. Because then that person may be using the anger. So anyway, so now the point what I am trying to say is, from what we do and from what we don't do, to some extent the person can be understood. Only from the manifestation we can understand. So therefore, if you see here, action and renunciation, they take it up. From what kind of action the person is involved in from the time he wakes up till the time he goes to bed. So you know, there are people, all kinds of people attending our classes. You will find when a person questions, if the person is highly rajasic, the questions also will be pertaining to those areas. How do I deal with my subordinate? What do we have to do with our customers? In this kind of difficult situation, you know, it's more action oriented. So the person is, through the manifestation you can find. Isn't it? So, he first takes up action and then renunciation. Doing, not doing. Renunciation means avoiding. What are you avoiding? Are you avoiding obligatory action? Or are you avoiding ego and desire? Are you avoiding arrogance and laziness? What are you renouncing? Or if you are giving up something, is it out of understanding or mechanical? You get it? So there is an analysis of renunciation, there is an analysis of action. And both you do for what purpose? Happiness. Isn't it? If somebody is told, XYZ is coming today, and that XYZ brings joy to that person, he will get up and look forward, he'll go to the airport to invite the fellow. Action carrying him. Enough. Supposing that XYZ is a torture for that fellow. He will go to the airport not to receive that fellow. During the time that fellow stays in the city, he will go out of the city. Renunciation. So why? Avoiding gives me joy. Courting gives me joy. Some people are doing action to attain happiness. Some people are avoiding action to attain happiness. What kind of happiness? That is analyzed. That we are looking for. You understand? Immediate pleasure. Or pleasure that comes out of postponement. The pleasure that comes in doing the action. Very, very interesting. There are pleasures that we get by dulling our mind. being in that MSC condition. 2 days ago, I was going on that road, Mathura road, towards Nizamuddin, the night. There's a fly, there's an underpass that comes, you know, when it's from New French Colony to Nizamuddin, there's an underpass. There's a guy lying on the road. I don't know whether he's drunk and lying down or what. And it's a little dark there. If you're not careful, you could run over him. I was, like after we crossed the underpass also, it was going on in my head. How this fellow is sleeping there? What level of tamas that fellow must be? It's just, I mean, it's just so scary. Sometimes dogs and cows are lying down. That itself is scary. Near this human being is lying down. And so like that, you know, there are pleasures that is associated by dulling your brain and system, faculties. And there are pleasures that you go and court, seek. And there are pleasures that comes from doing the right thing. What are you really seeking? What kind of happiness? You know, that is beautifully analyzed. And then, so there is, if you want to know the gunas, you have to analyze that doing and not doing. And what for that doing and not doing being done? For happiness. So all these three are analyzed. Analyzed from what is sattvic, what is rajasic, what is tamasic. Sattvic action, rajasic action, tamasic action. Sattvic renunciation, rajasic renunciation, tamasic renunciation. Then sattvic happiness, rajasic happiness, tamasic. So when you are doing the action, there is an actor who does the action. And the actor is using the buddhi and doing the action. The buddhi is having certain knowledge and that actor is doing that action consistently. So what kind of actor, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic is analyzed? What kind of intellect do you have? Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic is analyzed. What kind of knowledge do you have? Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic is analyzed. Then what kind of consistency with which you pursue that? Is it sattvic, rajasic, tamasic? So 4 plus 3, totally 7 aspects are analyzed from the sattvic, rajasic, tamasic angle. So once we understand this, we can get a nice broad picture about ourselves. So then we can do this homework. You know, we should have our own matrix of 7 by 3 columns and rows. You can have 7 columns and 3 rows, or 3 rows, sorry, 3 columns and 7 rows. It's up to you. Then plot it. The 3 columns will be sattva, rajas, tamas. The 7 rows will be knowledge, action, actor, intellect, consistency, happiness, renunciation. Then sattvic knowledge, how much do you think you have after understanding these points? You put that much. Tamasic knowledge, how much I have. Rajasic knowledge, how much I have. When I calculate all these things, should be 100. Like that I do for all the 7. So then I calculate all the 7 aspects into 3, then I will know how much sattva, rajas, tamas I have in total. So which are the areas I need to focus more? So there may be sometimes I can understand certain things, but when it comes to working, I go because I think this happiness is better. You know, so then I need to know what kind of happiness I'm looking for. I know that in doing the right thing, I will get a superior job. But I will go for the emotional job. Because that is relatively easy to accomplish. So all this I need to analyze properly. So when I do this kind of exercise, I'll get an idea. Then after about 6 months or 1 year, I do this exercise once again. Why? Today I do this exercise to find out where I am. After 1 year, why should I do it again? To know if I've improved or not. Otherwise, we'll be thinking that I am going, becoming better and better. Everybody in the house is more frustrated. Yes, they know the truth. And the more they say, the more in denial you will be. What are you talking? So therefore, this is how the whole presentation is in the Gita. So now let's get on to knowledge, jnana.
Knowledge, jnana. Sattvic knowledge is that knowledge which recognizes the core of all beings as the self, Atma or Brahman, the supreme reality that pervades the pluralistic phenomena of the world, the infinite substratum upon which the world is projected. It is the knowledge of the underlying unity in the diversity of things and beings, a knowledge that finds you the harmony and peace you seek in life.
So, sattvic knowledge is the knowledge with which you recognize the core of beings as a self. Atma, Brahman. In other words, sattvic knowledge is the knowledge that is more penetrative. It's not just superficial knowledge. It's not like you see with your eyes and you get some knowledge, you fix yourself there. No. You use your buddhi, you analyze, find out what the truth is. That is sattvic knowledge. So sattvic knowledge is the knowledge with which you recognize that the supreme reality is the underlying principle in every being. The supreme reality that pervades the pluralistic phenomena of the world. It is that one Brahman which is underneath the individual, the microcosm, and it is the one reality that is underneath the total, the macrocosm. That infinite substratum upon which this world is projected is the real thing. That knowledge. The knowledge with which you value the underlying reality, not the superimposed world. It is the knowledge of the underlying unity in the diversity of things and beings. So in other words, you will be able to keep the guna aside and then deal with the person if you have sattvic knowledge. That fellow has that guna. What to do? We think he is identifying with that guna. And then he is functioning this way. I understand that he is Atma, which is eliminating the guna. See, what is happening is, take the example of a gadget. Electricity passes through air conditioner, cools the room. Electricity passes through the heater, heats up the room. Electricity passing through the grinder grinds. Like that, each equipment gadget has a certain function. Electricity only enlivens it. Okay. So everyone is a combination of sattva, rajas, tamas. And Atma is enlivening them. According to their combination, they may be functioning. Because they don't know that they are Atma. And therefore they identify with the gunas and they are expressing like that. But I with knowledge understand that they are actually the Atma. Poor fellows are caught up in the gunas, hence they are functioning like this. So then my attitude to them would be what? Love, not hatred. Isn't it? I won't be having hatred towards them. I understand poor fellows are lost in the gunas. Gunas are functioning. Similarly, something happened in a relationship, in the past he said something which he could have not said, but he said it, hurt, ho gaya, uske baad he also came and said sorry, whatever, now again you are in good friendship with that person. Now something you are meeting, though you know such a guna is was there, it may still be there. But you keep aside and relate with that person. This capacity, this knowledge is called objectivity. To see the truth, to see the present rather than being lost in the past.
Guruji, I have a question.
Yeah.
When we are talking about Sattvic, it's almost, it's like all the gunas also, it's kind of a different energy also. So supposing when I, if I think of it, if in nature, I feel that in nature, in plant, like the natural world or in nature, I feel that they are more aligned to the sattvic qualities and they are just doing what is they, it, like I feel the energy of nature is far more sattvic than human beings. Is that, does that make any
the energy
sense?
Of nature. Nature, what are, as if human being is unnatural.
No, human being is natural, but like I feel in human beings there's a confusion between all the elements, between rajasic, tamas, rajasic and sattvic. There is a combination of all three gunas and energies.
See,
and
in the case of animals...
Not animals, but more in... because I feel animals also to some degree have rajasic and tamas.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you see plants and like the natural earth world, I feel like they are operating only on the level of sattvic. There is, they are doing, there's no laziness. They are doing what they need to do. They grow according to their, you know, their natural course of life. They die according to their natural course of life. No resistance, no...
See, in the case of plants, you can say, but all formalized, not more tamas, because the plants are absolutely dependent. If there is a river, 100 meters away flowing, plants cannot go to the river and nourish themselves. They are dependent on somebody to nourish them. There has to be a gardener who will bring the water and pour, or the nature has to come down as the river. You understand? That quality of dependence is there and the growth is only unidirectional. So you can say that plants are more tamasic.
Really? I would think the other way around, that they are self-sustaining and in whatever situation
or
they
what
try.
Do you mean by self-sustaining? It's all
like, even if their root will go deeper and deeper depending on the species where the water level is. Like what I mean is like
it
they
will go
are...
deeper, but how long it will go? There's a limitation. All I'm trying to say is this entire universe is a manifestation of tamas, rajas and sattva. Only human beings from the science point of view have prefrontal cortex brain, and from the Vedanta point of view, intellect. Okay. So choice of action. And because of this choice of action, the person can be cruel or the person can be a great sacrificer. Like Sidney Carton give his own life. You understand? Both extremes. Because of animals, the temptation comes, they are hungry, will kill and eat. They are not doing it with the doership. You understand? Because they don't have that ego, where, because their subtle body itself is very limited. See, in the case of plants, subtle body is very, very limited. So we say, you know, plants have the physical body, but they do not have the mind and intellect. When we say that they do not have mind and intellect, science tells us that plants do have emotions, which is mind. But the emotions that the plants have, compared to the emotions the animals have and human beings have, is very, very rudimentary. So for all practical purposes, we say plants have no emotions.
But isn't that more in control? Like, isn't that what we try to achieve to a certain degree where we are?
No, in their case, the emotions itself is very limited. That's what I meant by saying tamasic. Whereas in the case of animals, the emotions are a lot more compared to plants. There is more tamas and rajas in the animals. Okay. Then that's why you find there's more consciousness in animals than the plants. Okay. Because the subtle body is very, see, what is this consciousness? It's nothing but reflected consciousness. The consciousness that we talk about is nothing but reflected consciousness. We say a man is more aware. What do you mean by that? Means his subtle body is much more capable and developed than the animals and the plants. So when you come to animals, animals have mind, lot of emotions, but no intellect. Again, When we say no intellect, animal can distinguish between male and female, what is edible, what is not edible, threat situation, what is comfortable situation. These things an animal can analyze. But animals do not have the capacity to invent an aircraft, spaceship. You understand? Except, except.
Suji, also, they also operate through instinct, right? And the vivekā is limited. So that's the basic, one of the basic differences.
Yes, they only function on instinct, obviously.
On instinct. So then, it's a kind of a difference in how they operate and how we operate.
That's what I'm saying. They don't have intellect.
Yeah.
They operate on mind, which is instinct. So now, if you see, therefore, since human being has mind also, intellect also, the consciousness which is functioning through the plants, through the animals and the human, if you see, it's in a very, very nascent stage in plants. Very little more developed in animals. In animals also there are differences. You come to human beings, the awareness is very high. Now see, some of the animals like elephant and cow, you see, they have a lot of consciousness, lot of awareness. I've also seen in some places where tears are rolling down the cows. Okay. It's not that because something has fallen into the heads. They are able to feel the emotions a lot more. Are you with me? What is the difference between emotions and feeling?
Guruji, when my dog goes to his vet, he literally starts crying every time he goes. Yeah. I was shocked when I heard about it the first time. But now what you're saying is, I'm connecting that to that.
Because they have, I don't want to get into too much of science, because it's a philosophy class. There is something called this reptilian complex in our brain, limbic portion, and then the neocortex, and then the prefrontal cortex. Human being has all this. Snakes have reptilian complex. Dogs have limbic portion also. Cows and dogs and all that. And chimpanzees, they say, little bit of prefrontal cortex, very, very, very little. You know. So this prefrontal cortex can make us plan for the future and learn from the past. If it is strong. If it is weak, we will be worrying about the past and be anxious of the future. Okay. So a human being is a more aware animal, you can say so. More aware. So since there is lot more consciousness, you find more sattva in human being compared to animals and plants. You understand? Somebody, I think Leibniz, a philosopher, says, life sleeps in plants, dreams in animals, and wakes up in humans. The sense, little consciousness is there in the plants also, but very limited. Because the subtle body in them has a very limited capacity to express the inner consciousness. That's why I said, they are more, you can say, more tamasic. They neither hurt anybody, nor do anything. In that sense, you can't say they are sattvic. In fact, in human beings also, a lot of people understand tamasic fellows are sattvic fellows. Look, you know, because this fellow is quiet. He doesn't react to anything. You crack a joke in the class, no laughter. You quote some very inspiring quotations, no reaction. And you don't know whether the fellow is sattvic or tamasic. Is he sleeping or what? You don't know. Maybe he's mastered the art of keeping his eyes open and sleeping. So, tamas sometimes is taken to be sattva. That is not sattva. Sattva means you should have the capacity to retaliate but keep it under control. And when you have to do how much you have to do, you should with control do it. That is sattva. Do the plants have that? Do the animals have that? No. They don't. We're okay. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So the knowledge, we are discussing knowledge, where sattvic knowledge is when you identify with the common denominator. The common denominator in all beings is the underlying substratum, Brahman. All of us have various gunas, different characteristics. Each of us may be different, but the underlying reality is one. Our skin color may be different. Our languages with which we converse may be different. Our culture, everything is different. But we all belong to one species, human species. Compared to animals, we are different, but we all inhabitate the same world. So this knowledge is called sattvic knowledge, where you see the unity in diversity. That is sattvic knowledge. Rajasic knowledge is ulta. Read that.
Rajasic knowledge is that knowledge by which you see manifold beings and not the unifying self within. You look at them severally, notice distinctions and divisions, and see the pluralistic phenomena of the world, a diversity instead of one underlying reality. It is the opposite of sattvic knowledge.
So, there is a layer at the perception level, there is a layer at the emotional level, and there is a layer much deeper than this perception and emotional level. When you give in to these differences, you go by the differences rather than the unifying factor. That knowledge is called rajasic knowledge. You are more taken by the gunas, by their characteristics, by their functionings, and you see them as different. Then it is more rajasic knowledge. That's what he says. Rajasic knowledge is that knowledge by which you see manifold beings and not the unifying self within. You started seeing the variety. You've given yourself to the mind. It's an extroverted mind. It has moved away from the consciousness, self. Hence you see the variety, differences. That is rajasic knowledge. Diversity in unity. Sattvic knowledge is unity in diversity. Rajasic knowledge is diversity in unity. You see the variety, differences. You go by the differences, characteristics. Worst is tamasic. Tamasic knowledge. So sattvic knowledge, if you want to put it in one line, unity in diversity. Rajasic knowledge in one line is diversity in unity. You won't see the common denominator. You see the differences. What is tamasic knowledge? Please read.
Tamasic knowledge is that by which you cling obstinately to a part as if it were the whole, with no truth backing it, no reason supporting, which carries dogmatic, fanatic beliefs, like averring one's religion alone can save the world, none else, and not recognizing the truth that lies beyond one's limited vision.
So tamasic knowledge is a half-baked knowledge. It is more with perception. Upar-upar, how it appears, you take it to be true. In the case of rajas, I said characteristics, gunas. In the case of sattva, you go deeper than gunas, atma. So, a person who is at the sattvic level is operating at the subtle intellect level. The person who is at the rajasic level is operating at the mind level. Fellow at the tamasic level operates at the body level, perception level. That's all. And he sees the part and takes it to be the whole. He blows the part as a whole. Understands that he is that part, not that total. So that's what he's saying. Tamasic knowledge is that by which you cling obstinately to a part as if it were the whole. One of the things he adds is that obstinate, not given to logic, reason, nothing. You are not ready to discuss. Your viewpoint has to be accepted. That's it. So, he says, with no truth backing it. See, at least in the case of a rajasic fellow, there is some kind of analysis. In the case of tamasic fellow, it's opinionated. So, if you want to go deeply and say, tamas is opinionated knowledge, rajas could lean on the facts that is presented, whereas sattva is beyond facts and goes to the truth. For example, you may be confused, what is this facts and truths? Because it's about 45 minutes by the time we started, so you may be feeling a little sleepy. So I have to make certain controversial statements like this. I'll wake you up. What is the difference between fact and truth? Anybody? Is there a difference?
Fact is objective. For example, the population census, statistics, which those would be facts, scientific facts, but truth is probably something that could be what is not visible.
Fact changing depending on, like, from time to time, and truth is does not change. It's the truth. It's always the same.
Okay. What else? See, the fact is that he is the one who plunged the knife into somebody. But the truth is he's not a murderer because he had no intention to kill. Do you understand? A fellow has no intention to kill. In law, they call it as mens rea. He has no mens rea. He has no intention to kill. For whatever reason, to protect or whatever, he put the knife. But he is not a murderer. Truth is as it is. Fact is as it is presented. So you have to analyze the fact and go into the truth. And like, you know, truth doesn't change, facts can change. From which angle do you saw it? Both are speaking the facts. One fellow is saying, this object is black. Other fellow is saying this object is white. From their perspective, because it's a huge object, half of it is white in color, half of it is black in color. From the place where that fellow is viewing it is black. From the place where this fellow is viewing is white. So it, the fact says it's white, black. But the truth is it's half white, half black. Okay. So like that, I can go on. So the point is, mind goes by the expressions and all that. Whereas intellect analyzes and goes to the truth. Subtle intellect analyzes and goes further deep to see something that is beyond the gunas. Whereas tamasic knowledge is a knowledge that stops at the gross level itself. So that's what he says. Just blowing the part as a whole. More my opinion. There is no logic reason a thing. I'm telling. As if he's some authority. Bhagavan Nasam. Opinionated person. You know, homosexual. So he says, which carries dogmatic, fanatic beliefs. They genuinely, they believe like that. Some chronic problem a person may be having, chronic issues there in the kidney, and the fellow is giving solution that every day you get up from the left side of the bed and when you get up, don't see anybody except you should see your face only in the mirror. Do this for 21 days, kidney problem will be fine. अरे, what logic is? अरे मैं बोल रहा हूँ करो, and there are fellows who do it also. And rajasic knowledge would be treating the symptom. Sattvic knowledge would be treating the source. You know, you see all these things now in the world. In fact, treating your source, nobody is interested in. Symptom, tikona chayatas. Or, even treating the symptom, thoda time lagega. This is very easy. Getting up from the left side of the bed. Or waiting. Abhi, you know, Shani has gone from this house to that house. After 2.5 years, you go from this house to that house. Like that they keep saying. And you wait, okay. Till he goes, aisa yoga. You genuinely believe that this issue is only because of that. And then because of that, there may be, we are not poo-pooing, what do you call the astrology. Because of that, there may be a tough situation. That doesn't mean it's happening because of that. Just because there is some unbelievable traffic, are you going to stop working? You have to do work, so you will plan accordingly and then go. So astrology only tells you whether this is like this, the situation is like this. That's all. But to say that only that, you have to wait for another 2 years for the problem to get sorted out. What kind of knowledge is this? Or unconnected stuff because I get up from the left side and then go and look into the mirror. What kind of connection? There's no logic. You cannot talk to the thing. There's nothing you can talk. In fact, if you start talking, they may convince you. You will not be able to convince them. Huge following will be there. They will be surprised, actually. You wonder, my God, man, how is this? So well-educated fellows will be following such things. See, that is because in everybody there is an element of tamas. Fellow may be working hard and earning money, but some amount of the money that he's been earning, he'll invest in buying a lottery. Every time you pass the Dubai lottery free, in the Dubai airport, you will buy one for 500 dirhams. By chance, if I get 1 million dirhams. Okay. Why not? Because there is this mind in us which is tamasic, which is expecting things to get free. Everybody wants a free meal. You know, that much tamas is there. So therefore we do that. Otherwise, why will you do that? Because tamas is there in everybody. So that's why you find these things, you know, huge following. Huge. Unbelievable. So, you should, if you have sattvic, rajasic, yeah, I'm giving these explanations because tomorrow means someday you have to do your own plotting to find out where you are. The analysis you have to do. So if you just understand, okay, unity in diversity, diversity in unity, knowing the part as a whole, you get nowhere. Therefore, I'm giving these examples. We also have this tamasic knowledge. That's why we behave like this. We think we blow the part as a whole. Swaraji is talking about the planet's movement, which is having a certain effect according to your, you know, kundli. Okay. But that's not everything. So once you blow that as everything, then it is what? Tamasic only. So, see, the kind of knowledge we have brings us our belief system. And accordingly, our life will be. What is the knowledge that we have? Do we believe in cause and effect? Or we don't believe in cause and effect? Do we believe in luck and fate? Do we believe in shortcuts? What is our knowledge? Accordingly, our life will be. That's why he says, Sattvic knowledge is unity in diversity. Seeing the truth in and through all the variety of perceptions and characteristics that is presented to us. Rajasic is seeing the variety and characteristics. Tamasic is in those varieties also only going by the perception. There is no mind involved, just going by perception. Ekliya, aisa hi hoga. You conclude it. So there are people who conclude a person's character based on a particular habit or a behavior. Somebody may have a particular behavior in a particular context or some habit. And they conclude, oh, this person must be like this. That is all tamasic knowledge. Don't we do that? A person chooses to wear certain clothes. Based on that, you conclude that the person is like this. Isn't it? Isn't that tamasic knowledge? You don't know anything about the person's character. Oh, if he or she is wearing this kind of clothes and living, they have to be like this. What is that? Nothing but tamasic knowledge. Let's continue. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Buddhyatmanava Prakrite Svabhavat Karomi Yadyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami.